This is Cross Hope, a daily word of hope and inspiration with Randy Snyder, Senior Minister of Crossview Christian Church. Now, with today's message from Cross Hope, here's Randy Snyder.
There are some scriptures that you read, believe it or not, there's about a dozen that I can think of that literally make people angry just because you read them publicly. I don't know what it is. There are some scriptures you read, people think you're trying to prove a position, you're using it as a proof text to prove something. And I'll give you a simple example out of my own life, where at a wedding in Columbus, Ohio, the couple asked me to read the famous passage from the book of Ephesians where it says, "Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church. Love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her." Well, what does it mean to love your wife as Christ loved the church? It means to lay down your life for your wife. That's pretty heavy duty. Nothing simple about that. Nothing small change about that. But the other part of the passage says, "Wives, submit to your husbands as to the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife in the same way that Christ is the head of the church." The couple asked me, remember that, they asked me to read that. The wedding was over. I was in the foyer of the church. The receiving line was behind me. I was just standing out there greeting people who had already gone through the line. And I honestly and truly saw a woman come toward me with fire in her eyes. And I remember thinking, I really thought this, and this was a long time ago, I thinking, if she's armed, I'm dead. If she has a gun, I'm dead. And she came up to me and she put her right index finger in my face with her husband standing right behind her and said, "You ruined this wedding." And I said, "How did I ruin this wedding?" I had no idea what she was referencing. "You ruined this wedding because of the scripture you read today from Ephesians. And I'm not making this up." She said, "My husband and I don't believe that passage. And we're happy." And she turned around to him, "Aren't we?" And he said, "Yes, yes, we're very happy. We're very happy." And that's honestly happened exactly the way I described it. You see, for her, I didn't say anything of an editorial comment. I just simply read from the Word of God, and she was offended. Today is a passage like that. It's an offensive passage. If you came here today and this is your first time, it's your own bad luck. I'm sorry. It's your bad choice of picking this Sunday. And we had people in the first two services who said, "This is my first Sunday," and they said it with a smile. It's exactly where I left off last week. We're going to talk today about Jesus being serious about sin. The theme of this whole series is Jesus is. The subtitle here, Jesus is what? He's serious about sin in your life and in my life. So I'm going to read a passage of scripture that will offend people just by the mere reading of it. It's exactly where I left off last week, but I want you to simply listen to it. Today, I don't want to over-explain anything. I just want to point to it and say, here it is. It's Hebrews 10. Beginning at verse 26, "If we deliberately keep on sinning after we have received the knowledge of the truth, no sacrifice for sins is left, but only a fearful expectation of judgment and of raging fire that will consume the enemies of God. Anyone who rejected the law of Moses died without mercy on the testimony of two or three witnesses. How much more severely do you think a man deserves to be punished who has trampled the Son of God underfoot, who has treated as an unholy thing the blood of the covenant that sanctified him, and who has insulted the Spirit of grace? For we know him who said, 'It is mine to avenge, I will repay.' And again, 'The Lord will judge his people.' It is a dreadful thing to fall into the hands of the living God." It is a dreadful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. About 7 years ago, I received a phone call wherever I was ministering then, and from a man who identified himself as a retired missionary from Kenya, Africa. And he explained to me that he and his wife went to Kenya, Africa in the mid-70s. And I asked him a question: what's been the hardest cultural adjustment for you having been out of the country since the mid-70s? And you know what I expected him to say? I don't know why I thought this, but I thought he would mention Starbucks. I would thought he would mention the malls, all the fast food restaurants that are here now that weren't there before. It was none of that. He said, Randy, the biggest cultural adjustment that my wife and I have experienced since coming back to live in the United States is that this country has redefined sin. Which I thought was intriguing. The country has redefined sin. And then he went on to say, and even churches have redefined sin. We left here in the mid-70s believing what the Bible said about certain subjects, and now back in the country, and we're told that that's not wrong and things have been declared right. And he said that has been the biggest cultural adjustment. I want to share with you today that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. That's what Hebrews says later on. And his word doesn't change. The world can pass away, but the Bible says the word of God stands forever. What does it mean? That mean? It means it's enduring. And so what I want to do today is not spin it in my opinion. I'm not going to try to tell you my take on it. I'm going to share three statements about what continual willful sin does, deliberate sin does. Number one. Out of this passage, it tramples the Son of God under our feet. It tramples the Son of God under our feet. Now, that's a graphic expression, but most people have a sense of what that means. May I tell you in plain English what it means to trample the Son of God under feet? It means you treat him like dirt. Nobody can leave here and say, I don't understand that phrase, tramples the Son of God under our feet. It means to treat him like dirt. Most people can understand that expression. I'm always looking for word pictures, and so I wanted to give you a word picture for this one, and I found one from an old writer by the name of Andrew Murray. Some of you read the stuff of Andrew Murray. Andrew Murray tells about a father and son that he knew, a young man in his 20s, who had the habit every night, 7 days a week, 365 days a year, he would go out every night, leave home, and go get drunk. He'd come rolling in at 3 and 4 or 5 o'clock in the morning, and he did this 7 days a week. And finally, out of frustration, not out of anger, not out of hostility, when the son was leaving one night, his dad stood in the doorway and put his hands up on the door jams. And not in hostility or anger, he just put his arms up and said, son, I can't take this anymore. You're going out every night and coming home drunk at 3 and 4 in the morning and crawling into the house. I said, I'm not going to let you leave. It was a symbolic gesture. I just can't put up with this anymore. And Andrew Murray said that the son simply clenched his fist and reared back and with a right fist leveled his dad right in the threshold of the door. And then he walked on and over his dad's body as he walked out of the house. Somebody might say, why would you tell such a graphic story like that? Because you get it. And I get it. It helps me to understand what the Hebrew writer means that I trample the Son of God under my feet when I live in continual, willful, deliberate sin. When I say, I'm going to do this, I know it's wrong, but I'm still going to do it. That's the first thing that continual, willful, deliberate sin does. It tramples the Son of God underfoot.
We'll continue exactly where we leave off today, tomorrow. Our website is crosshope.org. That's one word, crosshope.org.
William Barclay is from the Church of Scotland, lived during World War II. He writes this, sin is not mere rebelliousness against the law, it's a wounding of love. A man can stand almost any attack on his body. The thing that beats him to his knees in defeat is a broken heart. He said, I want to tell you a story. During the days of the Hitler terror in World War II, there was a man that I knew of in Germany who was arrested, tried, tortured, and put into a prison camp. He faced it all with courage and gallantry and emerged from the prison unbroken and standing tall. Finally, with his body broken and with his head unbowed and his spirit unconquered, he emerged from prison after the war. But then by accident, this man discovered who it was in the first place who had informed the Gestapo and had given information against him. The informer was his own son. The informer was his own son. Get this, the discovery broke his heart and he died. He survived the prison camp. Gets out of prison, finds out it was his son who informed the Gestapo who betrayed him, and he promptly died. And here's what William Barclay says, the attack by an enemy he could bear. The attack of one whom he loved killed him. The attack of the enemy he could bear, but the attack of one whom he loved killed him. There's a word there that I want you to get the seriousness of sin, that we have continual, willful, deliberate sin. We trample the Son of God underfoot. We treat him like dirt. Let's bring up the second one that we do. We treat the holy as if it were unholy. The Hebrew writer says, you treat the blood of the covenant. And every Jew who was reading this was written to a Jewish audience. They knew what the blood of the covenant meant. All covenants were sealed by blood. And of course, the ultimate blood covenant is the one that Jesus Christ made with us when he shed his blood on the cross. We have a blood covenant with Christ. And the Hebrew writer says, when you sin deliberately, willfully, and continually after you come to Christ, you treat the blood of the covenant as if it were an unholy thing. We treat the holy as if it were unholy. Again, I was trying to think of a word picture. I'm always interested in things that people can visualize, and instantly I thought of something. I grew up in the Chicago area, and my parents still live in an area that I consider, it's not crime-ridden, but it still kind of has a rough edge to it. The church where my dad ministered for 42 years has been broken into, vandalized, and burglaries so many times that the church had to set up electric eyes in the sanctuary, and so when people would break into the church, it would instantly notify a silent alarm to the company. They would call the police and call my dad. And I can tell you routinely, there was a period of time where my dad was always going up to church at 2 or 3 in the morning, another break-in at the church. But the one thing that sickened my dad the most was this. Some young men broke into the church, set off the alarm, and my dad met the police there. They went in, and they found that all they did was take shaving cream, but they covered the wooden communion table in the front of the pulpit that says, this do in remembrance of me, with the communion trays on it. And they covered it in shaving cream, wrote things in shaving cream on the walls. It wasn't, you know, horrific damage to the church. But you know what they did? They took something that's holy and treated it as if it were unholy. And that's what the Hebrew writer says, I do, and you do. When we live in continual, willful, deliberate sin, we treat the blood of the covenant as if it were something unholy. And it's serious business to Jesus Christ. It may not be serious to you or me, but it's serious, serious to him.
Well, this is a very dramatic passage from the book of Hebrews about what we do when we continually and willfully sin against the Lord. And we continue the warning of this passage from Hebrews 10 tomorrow on CrossHope. Remember, our website is crosshope.org. That's one word, crosshope.org. God bless you.
Dick Shepherd, or Richard Shepherd, was a man that I would call a street preacher in London, England for years. And this is really interesting. He was asked by a reporter, what's the hardest thing about being a street preacher? I would have thought he would have said, well, the name calling, when people make fun of you. When people mock you, and they argue with the Bible with you, and that's probably the hardest thing about being a street preacher. And he said, that's not it. He said, the hardest part about being a street preacher is when you're preaching from the Word of God and somebody speaks up at you and say, let me tell you about a Christian I know who beats his wife. Let me tell you about a Christian parent of mine who abused his children or abused her children. Let me tell you about a brother of mine who thinks he's the most religious guy in the world who steals from his company. Let me tell you about a woman at work who prays her Christianity, but yet she has continual strings of affairs with people. And he said that was the hardest part of it, is people throwing up Christians to him that they knew that had treated the holy as if it were unholy, who trampled the Son of God. And he said, that was the hardest part about being a street minister. I thought it was a great observation on his part. From the questions and from their arguments and their criticisms, he said that the greatest handicap the church has is the unsatisfactory lives of professing Christians. The unsatisfactory lives of professing Christians. I want to focus on the third one. The three things that continual, willful, and deliberate sin does, it insults the Holy Spirit. The actual phrase is, insults the Spirit of grace, referring to the Holy Spirit. Everything about the Holy Spirit is about grace. Did you know the book of Corinthians says that no man or woman calls Jesus Lord except by the Holy Spirit. I reference that a lot because I think it's important. What happens in conversion is the Holy Spirit of God talks to your spirit. How does that happen? I don't know. Can I explain it? No, sure can't. But the Holy Spirit communicates with your spirit inside where you live. And here's what the Holy Spirit says. Jesus is who he claims to be. He is the Son of God. Wake up. Pay attention to what this guy's saying. Jesus is everything he claimed to be. He's everything the Word says he is. And that moment happens when the Holy Spirit speaks to my spirit that Jesus is Lord. And that's what we do. We insult the Holy Spirit. We insult the Holy Spirit when we live in continual, willful, and deliberate sin. One author put it this way, to ignore and disregard the voice of the Holy Spirit is to insult the Holy Spirit. To refuse a good person's advice, to contemptuously neglect their invitation, to abuse their hospitality is to insult them. To ignore the pleadings, the invitations, and the commands of the Holy Spirit and go one's own way is to insult the Spirit and to grieve the heart of God. This will help you to visualize it. I'm not trying to revive any bad feelings you may have towards somebody, but can you think of the last time somebody verbally insulted you? Sure you can. Some of you, it's pretty fresh. Some of you, it may have been this week, it may have been this month. And think of the last time that somebody verbally insulted you. Do you remember how you felt? Do you remember the grief? Maybe you choked back a tear when somebody said something hurtful to you, somebody close to you. Magnify that 1,000 times. And you haven't begun to capture what it means to insult the Spirit of God, to insult the Spirit of grace. That's one of the things that we do when we live in continual, deliberate sin.
Well, this message from Hebrews 10:26 and following will conclude tomorrow. I want you to hear the concluding story of this message from Hebrews, the 10th chapter. Our website, remember, is crosshope.org.
I had a professor at Cincinnati Christian University by the name of Dr. Steve Hooks. To me, I consider Steve to be the brightest scholar that I've ever personally known. He wrote a commentary on this passage of Scripture that is really powerful. I want you to listen. It's one paragraph long. To some people, the idea of an angry, vengeful God who punishes people for their sins is simply unacceptable. In a culture in the United States where we have lost the will to hold ourselves and one another accountable for anything, it is difficult to conceive of a God who does. Listen to this. The God of modern man is a heavenly patsy who is soft on crime and a sucker for a sob story. Listen to that again. The God of modern man is a heavenly patsy who is soft on crime and a sucker for a sob story. He is a cosmic caterer who exists for one purpose, to dispense health and wealth to people. Ironically, irresponsible ministers have contributed to these modern misconceptions of God by creating a climate in which grace is viewed as a loophole and mercy is viewed as an invitation to irresponsibility. To a world that knows how to get what it wants, such a God is the ultimate pushover, an easy mark for unscrupulous manipulation. I want to suggest to you that Dr. Steve Hooks is absolutely right. I close with this story. J.P. McElvoy was an editor years ago for the Reader's Digest. He's visiting London, England, and I would have never thought about doing this as a traveler, but he said, while he was in London, he said, I want to see court take place in London. I'd like to see an example of British justice. So he went to a court and sat down and just picked out a courtroom in one of the courthouses in London. And the case before the court was one of wife beating. The wife was the chief witness. She graphically described in testimony of her husband's brutality. Medical people showed photographs that were taken at the hospital of what happened to her. But for some strange reason, at the last minute, and they don't know if it was out of fear or panic or what, she had a change of heart. She said, Your Honor, I wish to withdraw my complaint against my husband. She said, I really have no complaint. I find no fault with this man, was actually her exact words. I find no fault with this man. The judge looked grimly down from the bench and said, Well, ma'am, England does have a problem with him. England does have a problem with your husband, and he proceeded to pass sentence anyway. And McElvoy makes this comment. That's what we do in the United States. We pronounce ourselves innocent. And we pronounce other people, you're innocent, you're innocent, you're innocent, I'm innocent, we're all innocent. Isn't it wonderful? And the God of the Bible says, no, you see, every time you commit willful, deliberate sin, you trample the Son of God underfoot. You treat something holy, the blood of the covenant, as if it were unholy. And you insult the very Holy Spirit of God. Jesus is serious about sin in your life and in my life. And he's serious about sin in our culture. He's serious about sin in our country. He's serious about sin in this world for this reason. It cost the death of his son. It's an unpopular passage. I don't know if you were offended when I read it today. Maybe you were privately. But all I'm doing is reading it to you and saying, here's what it says. Let it speak to you today. And let the Spirit of God come down just like one of these lights into your heart, into my heart, and say, here's what I'm revealing to you today. He's revealing something to somebody right now. Let's pray.
Well, I hope, as in every message we give at Cross Hope, that there's something that speaks to your spirit and to your heart. That's what this message is all about from Hebrews 10. Our website is crosshope.org.
You have been listening to Cross Hope with Randy Snyder. For more information or to listen to or download a copy of today's message, go to crosshope.org. That web address again is www.crosshope.org. Be sure to tune in each weekday at this same time to Cross Hope with Randy Snyder. This program has been a production of Cross Hope Ministries.